While she's coming, if you're visiting with us today, I look around. I don't see any new visitors, but if I'm missing somebody, we want to make you welcome. You just make yourself right at home.
This weekend will be our annual teen retreat. I was trying to think if it's been 6, 7, 8 years we've been doing this. Anyway, so we've kind of moved it up a little bit. Normally we started out September, then end of August. We've bumped it up to the beginning of August, hoping to grab our college kids that has to go back to college so that they can be able to do this. And also the sports schedules and stuff get really, really busy and hectic for the kids that play fall sports. So we're hoping to be able to grab more kids that don't have to leave this time and come back. So anyways, I just wanted to let you guys know we have I have to slip out here during the service, but Taylor will still be here if you could see her afterwards. I have a food sign-up sheet. We still have a lot of things not covered. We still have informational sheets. If you know of somebody and they're not here, if you want to invite a grandkid, neighbor, anybody that you know of that maybe has never got to come to one of these and you'd like them to be able to come, grab one of those. She'll have some extras of those also. Because there's no school on Friday, we bumped the time up from 7 to where we can actually start showing up at 4. So if they can't be here till later, that's fine. It's not a big deal. It's just going to be free time, hanging out, nothing really planned on that evening. So if they can't come till later, that's fine. That hasn't changed. It's just if they want to come earlier, they can. Again, it's at Rippling Waters. If you don't know where that is, I believe I have directions on here. If not, you can contact me. We have a great time. Every kid needs to bring a two liters of pop. And then, like I said, if you want to make a cash donation, we do purchase about 6 feet of subs. And then also we'll be doing something else that's special for them. That's kind of a secret right now. But anyways, if you want to make a money donation, that's fine too. We put it towards a teen retreat. You could give that to Taylor also. But if you want to sign up for a food, we do still have several things not covered. And it will be this Friday through Sunday. You would drop them off, and then Sunday you would pick them up after service. So if you have any questions, you don't know how we do all of this, feel free to contact me. My number is on this sheet, but it's a great time. It never ceases to amaze me how much Satan tries to stop this and tries to prevent the kids from coming. And the only reason he tries to do that is because these kids leave very blessed and very picked up and very revived after these services. So, of course, he wants to get it stopped. And he's brewing his little angry head again. And so that just kind of defeats me sometimes, but then also makes me think then that there's great things coming then if he's trying that hard to get it stopped. So pray for us. Pray that the kids will open up and you get into it what you put into it. So, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. So pray that they open up and that they really serve God during this teen retreat and that they put their schedules aside and come and stay with us for the weekend. So pray about it. If that's all you can do, we greatly appreciate it. Sorry, teen retreat, really we call it teen retreat because it started out with teenagers, but our young adults have never really quit coming, and we love that because they're so much fun when they come. But it's sixth grade up through young adult. So if you consider yourself a young adult, feel free to come out and enjoy it with us. But yeah, we started at sixth grade, but we have a great time. We have organized games throughout, campfire services, and then we end on Sunday morning with a service in the chapel. And we come in there crammed, packed into that chapel. I mean, every year I'm like, oh, maybe we need to start bringing some chairs to sit down the aisles. I mean, we are packed shoulder to shoulder with each other, but we have a great time. So if you think it's something that they've never tried, maybe they get nervous being away from home, encourage them to still come. If they think that they might not want to stay the night, that makes them nervous, it's their first year coming, pack them a bag anyways, just in case they change their mind. We've had a lot of kids that say that their first year, and then midnight, parents come, and they're like, I don't go home. I'm going to stay. And it's like, okay, well, they don't have anything now. So go ahead and pack them a bag. They may change their minds. But if you have any questions, feel free to contact me.
All right, very good. I have a couple of thank you cards here. This is from the family of Carla Abshire's stepmother. Says, thank you so much for the lovely flowers for my sister Della Moles. So anyway, that was from at the death of Carla Abshire's stepmother. Here's another thank you card. It says, to Reverend Al and all the congregation, thank you for everything, the beautiful church, the support, and most of all, the church family. Thanks to the ladies that held the dinner for my family. With love, Dennis Batten and family. That was at the death of Francis Batten. Let's continue to pray for those families. All right. I'm going to ask our ushers to come to service. We're going to have take up our tithes and offerings and ask God's blessing on the service today. Bobby, if you would do just that, we'd appreciate it.
I had a wardrobe malfunction, and I said stall till I get back. I believe that's the fastest I've ever driven from here to my house in 4.5 miles, and made a quick wardrobe change right into at the back door, and back down the road I came. But I guess that must be all the fish I ate last week while I was in Michigan. Meredith keeps shrinking my clothes. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, good to be here this morning. Good to be back. Number nine in the black book.
Calvary's mountain. Every day. All right, it's your turn. Get your hymnal, turn to page 213 as the choir goes down. 213.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Good. He came back. He dropped his Bible and left. I thought, am I going to have to give the sermon this morning? He didn't even tell me what it was going to be. All right. We have come to the most important part of the service. Susie, would you ask God's anointing on your husband this morning?
Morning. It's a privilege to be here today, and especially a privilege for me to do what I'm about to do, and that is I want to recognize someone who's been a part of our church for several years and been a part of the armed service for several years. And I believe it was July the 9th that he decided to step down. He's been in the Air Guard for 30 years. And I'd like for him to come and stand in front of me right now, if he would, right down front here. Dr. Steve Eschner. Dr. Steve wears many different coats, and this morning he has on a coat that he just got back from, and that was, did you work all night, Doc? He's a surgeon at Jackson General Hospital. We're thankful for that. He's not retiring from that, so he's going to still be working in that area, but to recognize him this morning, I'd like for him to stand right in front here. And I'd like for everyone that has served in the military to come forward and surround him on both sides. Everybody that has served in the military, we're going to recognize him this morning. I didn't tell them to shake hands with him, but they're going ahead. Huh? Oh. Well, I know. He was in the Army. I said the Air Guard, but he was in the Army National Guard for 30 years. I want to read just a little bit about him and then want to have a special prayer. Colonel Steve Eschenier. 1985, he earned the rank of Eagle Scout. In 1988, he enlisted in the Army National Guard. In 1991, he served in Desert Storm. In 1992, he enrolled in the West Virginia School of Osteopathic Medicine. In 1992, he was commissioned into the Naval Medical Corps. In 1996, he graduated from medical school. In 2001, he joined the emergency department at Jackson General. In 2004, he was deployed to Iraq for Operation Iraq Freedom. In 2008, he was deployed to Afghanistan with the 219th Special Forces. In 2009, he was appointed State Surgeon of the West Virginia Army National Guard. In 2010, he was named the Medical Director of the Summit Bechtel, is that right? Bechtel Reserve. To many of you, you saw the Boy Scouts coming to West Virginia. I don't remember, how many thousands were there, Doc? Huh? 45,000, and this man was over their medical welfare while they were here. He was telling me about the helicopters he had to line up, the ambulances, and all the other medical personnel that he was in charge of, but we're thankful for that. In 2018, he became a member of the West Virginia Executive Sharpshooters Class of 2018. Steve has served throughout the Mountain State and around the globe. And this is a statement that he wishes to say. I am proud to have served my country, especially alongside those who have served our country in its greatest hour of need. My career has never had more satisfaction than giving to those who are willing to give everything. Congratulations to Colonel Stephen Eschenier for 30 years of service in the United States Army National Guard. I'm sure he's proud to stand here with these veterans on each side of him. And we'd like to give him a little gift this morning. And this is to help him with his sharpshooting skills. Amen. Steve, you want to say anything? Veterans to turn and face Steve, and I'd like for you to offer a word of prayer for not only Steve, but all of our military that are out across the country putting their lives on the line every day. So if you gentlemen and lady will lead us in prayer, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen. I'd also like for Steve's family that's with him this morning, I'd like for them to stand right now and be recognized if they would. What are you going to do with your spare time now, Doc? I think highest peak on each of the seven continents. He, now is the whole family going to do that?
Just Lori.
Amen. Work his way up. Yeah. Yeah. We're truly thankful for each of you. And I began to think about the military and how important it is for those that are that surround you in any type of situation that you're in. And I've often heard this saying is, I've got your back. And I thought, you know, in the military it's probably more important than any other thing that we might do is for those that are with you, those that are serving with you. They have your back, and you become brothers. You become so close, taking care of each other. This morning, I'd like to like for you to turn with me. Let's go to Galatians first. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read one verse there to you. It says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And I thought, you know, our liberty comes by these gentlemen that you saw and lady that you stood before you this morning. But I want to talk a little bit this morning, and I need two volunteers. I need Kip and Aaron Davis, Kip Liebtrot and Aaron Davis. Thank you for volunteering. Come right up front here, if you will, please, and you can have a seat right here beside of me. We always give Kip a hard time, and they're on the road a lot. These two guys are working, and I thought, you know, you can sit together if you would, please. They're on the road together, but we won't go any further than that. But I thought, you know, these two guys work together all the time, and I'm going to ask them to help me this morning. But it says here, the yoke of bondage. And the yoke of bondage that mankind has faced through the years is the bondage of sin. And that's not a good yoke to be yoked with. And this morning, I brought something with me that I actually made last night. And I told Marlon I brought my golf club so I'd be ready to leave as soon as service is over. But somebody asked me if I brought a gun. But I actually made a yoke, and I want you to bear with me here as we go through this for just a few minutes. And as you can see, usually the yoke is stand up here, if you will, please. Put that arm through there and right over. Yeah, I have tight messing up. That's as far as it'll go.
Got one stupid draft here from Brian Miller's over here.
That too tight?
No.
All right.
Tell Chris.
I'd like to go to Corinthians for a verse real quickly. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this scripture says this: Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? He's talking about unequally yoked. And a lot of times we look at this scripture and we apply it all to marriage. And anytime I'm talking with a young couple that's planning to get married, the most important thing about a marriage is not their relationship, but their relationship with Christ. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't always pan out. But I'm going to ask these two guys to please walk to the back of the church together, please. Okay, turn around there if you would, please. Now, I was doing some research on this, and I was looking up yoke, and usually a yoke is a wooden cross beam that you use between two animals for them to pull or to plow or whatever they might be. But I looked at one scripture or one picture, and it had a picture of a donkey with an ox. And I thought, wow, that's really being unequally yoked. But what is the main thing about someone that's yoked with you? That they're doing what? Not what Aaron's doing. Aaron's going the wrong way and everything else up here, and he's pulling and leading Kip astray. But I'd like for you all to walk back up the aisle together, if you can. Just turn right there if you will. Yeah. Now, I thought about this, and I thought, as Christian brothers, these two guys are a pretty good example of working together. They not only work together in the Lord, but they also work together, you know, in their profession. And they often spend many times, but you can hear them testify and talk about people that they've invited to the Lord, people that they've shared the gospel with. And I think that is so important for us. So I'd like for them, if they would, just to turn and sit down on the front row, please. You see how just a little bit of time together they learn to get along. But I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter of Matthew. This is probably, and this is one of my favorite scriptures also. But I began to think about this, and I thought, you know, who would I want to be yoked with? Now, Susie and I have been yoked together for 41 years. And I don't know of anybody else in this life that I'd rather be yoked with in that situation. But I'm wondering, in our lives, when we choose somebody to be yoked with, I thought of that scripture where it talked about being unequally yoked. He wasn't only talking about marriage. He was talking about in business relationships. He was talking about in people that we work with, people that we spend time with, people that are our friends. And I say this mainly and a lot for the young people. It's very important who you yoke up with as a friend. It's very important that you choose somebody that has the same values that you have. If you're a Christian, you want to find a Christian friend. If whatever it is, be careful who you choose as your friend. Because as you can see, as these guys have come together, you know, when one moves, what happens to the other one? The other one moves and has to do the same thing, or the other one has to follow in what the other one is doing. So it's very important that you choose who you want to be yoked up with. And I thought of this, and I'm not going to keep you very long, but this scripture in the 11th chapter of Matthew says it all. Beginning in verse 28, Christ is talking. He's calling everyone to himself. And I want to start, I'll go back to verse 25. It says in Matthew 11, verse 25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Listen to this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How many here like to find the easy way? How many of you work to make things harder? We don't, do we? But once we learn the easy way, or we try to find a way that things will be easier for us to do. If I'm moving something, I'm looking for something to get under there and roll it. If I'm digging, I'm looking for the biggest piece of machinery that Kip can bring to my house and dig a hole for me. I'm looking for something to make what we're doing a little easier. And this is Christ speaking to those that were there that day. And first of all, if I want to yoke up with somebody, who better to yoke up with than Jesus Christ? You say, why? Why should I yoke up with Jesus Christ? Well, the two words that he gave us there, his way is easy and light. His burden is light. Who are you yoking up with when you yoke up with Christ? You're yoking up with a man, the Son of God, who knows everything about anything. Or knows everything about everything. A lot of times we get people to come help us that know a lot about one thing, and another one knows a lot about something else. But I've never found someone that knows everything about everything. I've found people who think they know everything about everything. But, you know, I don't have a real comfort in those people. But the comfort I get is with the Lord. And first of all, he's saying to come to him. What is the greatest thing that Christ has to offer you? Eternal life, salvation. He offers each of us eternal life and salvation. Is there anyone else under heaven whereby you must be saved? Not according to the Scripture. He is the one that can present us to the Father, that we're one of His. And I think He is, in this first, when He says, come, He's offering us salvation. Is there anything in this world that's greater than salvation? You know, sometimes we don't act like it, do we? We get involved in everything there is in this life, but sometimes we leave the Lord out or leave Him to be last. But I thought, you know, here He is. He's saying, come unto Me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden. What makes us labored and heavy laden? Sin. Sin does. Sin makes us heavy laden. I'll share this with you. I've shared it with you before a long time ago. That when I was saved, when I was 9 years old, it was on March the 4th back in 1963. But when I rose from the altar, they asked me a question. They said, Aaron, how do you feel? And here I am, a 9-year-old boy, trying to think how I feel. But earlier the year before, in the fall, when we dug potatoes, my job was to load them in a sack and carry them to the truck. And the only thing I could think of that night was, I felt like a sack of taters had been lifted from me. And I thought, you know, but truly God wants to lift that burden from you. He carried it for you to the cross. He paid the price for each of us. So the heavy and laden is sin. And Christ, if you're yoked with Him, He's always right there. What did He tell us? He said, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. Now that's who I want to be yoked with. Someone who's there. He's not only there when we're sitting at the house. He's not only there when we're walking down the road or whatever, but He's there in the middle of the night when nobody else is around. When we think we're alone, He's always there. And that's someone that you want to be yoked with. What else about Him makes us want to be yoked to Him? He has all power in heaven and earth. No matter what gets in your way or what comes your way, He'll be there to help you through it. He'll be there to watch over you and guide us and direct us. I thought often, when we have sickness or things come our way, I believe it's Isaiah says this, for by His stripes we are healed. If He's with you, He wants to heal you. He wants to take care of you. My mother had melanoma cancer. I found out when I was 15 years old. My dad and I were riding in a car going home from church. And I told him, I said, Dad, Mom's going to be okay. I had that faith that the one that I was yoked to could take care of the situation. 12 years later, she died of cancer when I was 27. But He gave me 12 wonderful years with my mom. I found comfort. I found rest in His words. It says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. There are a lot of degrees in this world that you can go after. There are a lot of things that you can learn about. But I know of nothing greater to study than this book right here. I thought, you know, you can, it's a book that You know, if you read a book, and Susie likes to read, and she has an author she likes to read about, but it's, and when she's finished with that book, it's done. And what she's doing is she's looking for another book that author has written so that she can, you know, continue to read his work. But I thought of the author of this book. 40 writers over a period of 1,600 years penned down this book. But the author is God himself. And by him writing this, if we will learn, the reason God wrote this was so that we might know him and who he is. So by take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Christ wants to make your life lighter. He wants your burden to be lighter. And all he wants you to do is yoke up with him. I'd like for these two fellows to stand up, if you would. Now turn around and stand right in front here. I want you to think of one as being Christ and the other as being yourself. Everywhere we go in our life every day, Christ wants to be right beside you. When the ambulance is coming to get you, dying to take you to the hospital, who do you want riding with you? You might say, well, I want a good paramedic. But if you have the Lord riding with me, it's more than any paramedic could ever offer. I thought when Steve is going to surgery, Steve, who do you want standing beside you when you're in the surgery room? You want the Lord beside you to guide your hands, to direct you so that everything that you do will give that person the best chance. When you walk up to meet a stranger and you want to introduce them to Jesus Christ, who do you want standing beside you? Who do you want yoked up with you? It's often said when you go visit someone to talk to them about the Lord, if you feel in your heart that you need to go, who's going to be there before you even get there? The Lord is. He's going to prepare their hearts. I thought as Brother Bernard Bailey, it gives me a pleasure to say, Brother Bernard Bailey. Prayed for him for many years. You remember several years ago, I gave you a little card that said, who's on your front porch? Bernard was on my porch. Got word one day that our evangelist and Pastor Al went to visit him and found him in the barn. You say, well, what was going on in the barn? He was working with the horses, but God was dealing with his heart. And he bowed right there in the sawdust and accepted Christ as his Savior. Those two men went, Christ was there with him, and he accepted the Lord. And this past January, I got a call. I was headed to Florida, and I couldn't get here. They told me Brother Bernard had moved on to his new home. He moved on not very far from the place he was saved in that same barn, sitting in his chair. Who do you think he was sitting there with that day? But Jesus Christ. Because he had found him as his Savior. He'd gotten yoked up with him. He always talked about horses, always worked with horses. He probably knew more about yokes than most of us do or ever will know. But the greatest yoking he ever did was when he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And that gave everyone a hope that when he left here, we'll see him again. If you're here this morning and you're yoked up and your yoke is pretty heavy, you're in bondage, in the bondage of sin, I want you to realize if you're yoked up to sin, you're struggling. But if you're yoked, if you'll come and get yoked up with Jesus Christ, walk with him daily, side by side. A lot of times we go out in the world and we think, well, I'm on my own. If you've accepted Christ, you're not walking by yourself. He's right there with you. So he said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're here this morning and you're not resting, I remember once I heard the gospel and I began to think about getting saved, I didn't rest at all. I didn't sleep at all. But one night, I came to an altar and found Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I sleep better now than I ever did in my life. And it's because I'm not worried about what happens during the night. I'm ready to go. As Audrey sings a song, I'm a winner either way. If you're yoked up with Christ and you're walking with Christ, you're a winner no matter what's going on in your life. No matter what's going to happen on tomorrow, what's going to happen today. Why don't you come right now and accept Jesus as your personal Savior as we stand and as we sing.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. Disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Each of you that came today, and we want to thank Aaron and Kip for volunteering to help me. But I think, you know, if we all remember, if we work together, I can remember building my house. There were days that I'd try to do things on my own, and then there were days that my dad would come out and help me. And two men can do the work of probably three men by themselves. It's just a thing of being able to help each other. So we as a church, we need to remember that. We need to always work together and help each other in the way that we should. But I want to share one thing in closing. Yesterday I was sitting outside and I was studying and I was praying, and we have two kennels next to our house. And there are times when those dogs start barking, and I thought, you know, there's nothing really more aggravating than a barking dog sometimes. But I was sitting there and I said, Lord, help me with this. Because, you know, there have been times I wanted to go next door and, you know, do something I shouldn't do. But he looked at me, or he looked at me. Yeah, he always looks at me. But the Lord spoke to me and he said, Aaron, do you ever think that those dogs were praising me? I thought, wow. And if I can always look at that, that when an animal cries out, when a bird sings, what do we say? He's singing to the Lord. But when a dog barks, maybe the dog's barking, thanking the Lord for the food that they just received or whatever. But I don't know. But it just had to, it had to change my perspective I love dogs. And I thought, but he just told me that. He said, just when that, maybe when those dogs start barking, you need to start praising the Lord too. So think about that when you've got something that's really aggravating you, thinking, well, maybe they're praising the Lord. So that didn't cost you anything extra. But